In the final presentation, we took a look at a sample mutual fund that has a long history of investing. And we chose this mutual fund for various reasons. It's fairly representative of stock mutual funds. But mostly we chose it because of its longevity. To show you that if you tune out the short-term machinations and permutations and all kinds of Asians in the news and in the markets, and take a long-term view, the news is very good. So let's take a look at the Investment Company of America, 87 years of investing. Now, we're not going to click on this one because we have it on the local hard drive because it looks better than using the web. So I'll just minimize that. And what we have here is called a hypothetical illustration. We discussed these briefly in the presentation. Virtually all companies will do this for you. Insurance companies will do this for you also, mutual fund companies. And these are examples of what's happened in the past. This is not a guarantee of what's going on to happen in the future. So there are, as we'll see, disclaimers throughout this document. But let's take a look at how well this mutual fund has done over 87 years. So we've done this specifically for Introduction to Investments, Spring 2021, and prepared by yours truly. And here's where you start to see the stuff that you have to read carefully to realize what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare you, right? They're trying to tell you, hey, wait a minute. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are the deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose money. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Does anybody actually read all this stuff? Yeah, it might as well be Gregorian chant or whatever, because nobody actually reads it, but it's there to scare you. It's there to tell you, hey, yo, you're putting money into something that could lose value, but it's all legalese, so nobody actually reads it. So you skim through all that and come down to the good part where we actually start investing. And it takes a while to get down there, all this stuff that you're not going to read. That's very important, so of course nobody reads it. And here we finally get down to the illustration itself. Now, I don't know why, but for some odd reason, everybody who does these things starts with $10,000 investment. If you go to the websites, it'll tell you, this is what, as if most people have $10,000 lying around the house, right? But that's what they use. And this, actually, my understanding is this, they started actually the 31st of December, 1933. It actually goes back further than that, but this is when the company that took it over from the previous company. So you're going back to the Great Depression. Yeah, 87 years. So it starts here at $10,000, $10,000 investment. And we see that it bounced around a little bit in the Great Depression, went up fairly well in 36, and then there was another brief recession in 1937. And then we had World War II, and it seemed to be holding its own. And then after World War II, the stock market over the 1950s and 1960s went in two directions, up and way up. And so by 1972, you had over $1 million in your account. That $10,000 had become $1,231,086. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Yeah, because 2 years later, your $1,200,000 became $840,000. In the brutal 1973-1974 bear market, Watergate, the first oil crises, the inflation. It was a tough time. 1970s were a tough time for the markets and the economy as a whole, mostly because of the baby boom generation coming of age and all needing to get jobs and shoes and cars and refrigerators and houses. It was a very difficult time for and disco. I mean, don't forget disco. That was a tough time also. But did you run? Did you hide? No. When you heard people in 1974 say, ooh, is it too late to get out? You held on, and 2 years later, you were up to almost 1.5 million. Dear students, this is going to happen to you if you invest in stocks over the long term. There are going to be times when the markets are going to be out of favor and people are going to be running around screaming and hollering and panicking. And that is when you have to take a long-term perspective and sit back and just say, no, I'm not going to jump ship. I'm not going to panic, because that turns out to be, history tells us, there's no guarantees, of course, the worst time to sell. That's the best time to buy. But who wants to buy when the markets are falling? Right. Investing is simple, but it ain't easy. And the ain't easy part is this. The emotions that we feel, I got to tell you, folks, it ain't fun to watch your $10,000 become $6,000, or your $1,000 become $600, or your $100,000 become $60,000, or your $1.2 million become $840,000. But hey, you hung on. You took Business 123, Introduction to Investments, and understand that this is a long-term proposition. And then after the brutal 1970s, and when after the Federal Reserve Bank broke the back of inflation and the baby boom generation had come of age pretty much, and we had the go-go 1980s and the 1990s with new technologies and globalization and telecommunications and computers becoming ubiquitous, like that word, ubiquitous, and then the infernal net. My goodness, something that came totally out of the blue from the Defense Department, of all people. And the market went in two directions, up and way up, until 2000. Where we go? In 2000, you had $47 million. $10,000 became $47 million. The markets went hyperkinetic in the late 1990s. With the internet craze. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get in? it never ends, folks. It's a cycle, and you just got to sit back and watch it and realize that it's a long-term perspective, because, yes, it was too late to get in the year 2000. And sure enough, by 2002, your $47 million had become almost $39 million. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, because by now you've been subjected to the people who are crying out, is it too late to get in? And then in 2002, they were crying, is it too late to get out? So you hung on until the year 2007, when you had $70 million, and then 2008 came along, and your $70 million became $45 million, $46 million. And so you know what the people said already. You already know. But you didn't run. You didn't hide. And sure enough, it took, 5 years for you to come back. But you did. We survived the Great Recession. And sure enough, throughout the 2010s, the markets have done pretty darn well in spite of all the turmoil. Because the global economy has continued to grow, even we're going to survive COVID, I assure you. And that $10,000 from 1934 at the end of 2020 had become $197 million. And you are still, you don't believe me, do you? And what was it? The annual rate of return, 12%. Now, dear students, we said if we invest in stocks, we're very happy if we get 8, 9, 10%. But it turns out there are people out there who have done better than 10%. And in the final presentation, we showed you several. This is one of them. One of the reasons we chose this mutual fund is just because it has such a great long-term track record. So as we said, the news is good, right? If we take a long-term perspective, if we invest prudently with an eye toward long-term growth, don't get suckered in by the next greatest thing that will make you rich overnight, and certainly don't panic when the markets fall. Now, let's take a look at the graph. It's a little hard because of the screen size here. We don't want to make the screen too big because that makes the file really huge. But we see that unlike the graphs in Chapter 1 that we used, which used a logarithmic scale, this is using what we're used to, and that's a geometric scale. Increments are basically all the same in $20 million. And because of that, because it's an exponential graph, the first 40, 50 years, you barely see anything because of the size of the end of the graph. But we then see that exponential curve swooping way up. And that's what exponential growth is like. That's why people talked about COVID, how dangerous it could be. Well, it's exponential growth with viruses, and same thing with money, but it takes a lot longer with money. And so, but you see, this was a pretty pronounced downturn. In a logarithmic scale, that little downturn would not be pronounced at all. That's 2000 to 2002, and then there's 2007 to 2008. But if, and there's a little bit of blurb in 2018, there was a little tiny with a long-term perspective. But you see what exponential growth can do for us? Yes. Now, I know what you're thinking. Piano, I don't have an 87-year time frame. Of course not. We showed you this to show you that the news was good over the long term, and assuming the world doesn't end, should be pretty darn good over the next 20, 30 years, because of what's happening all around the world, which we've already discussed, emerging economies, emerging technologies, and the triumph so far of capitalism. But what we're going to do next is we're going to take a look at more realistic timeframes. We will show you $100 a month. Yeah, who has $10,000 also to just throw into the market right now? We're going to show you $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years, and then what happens when we take that $100 a month and every year increase it by $10 a month? And that's for you younger folks. We'll also take a look at what happens if we only have, say, a 20-year time frame, and find that time is not on our side. When we start to get towards our golden years, time becomes our enemy. Remember, in that, if you took a look at it, if you didn't, don't worry about it, but in that future value formula, time was the exponent. Time, we have to take a long-term perspective. So we'll see you in the presentation that shows you a more realistic investment time frame and investment dollar, investment contributions, investment, the amount of money that we're going to put in. I'm searching for that word. Okay, cool. The news is good, dear students. I'm not trying to get you to go out and buy the Investment Company of America. We had to choose one mutual fund to show what the rest of them can do, because there have been other mutual funds that have a long time frame and have done over 10%, and there have been newer ones that have done even better than that. So we'll see you in our next presentation on hypothetical illustrations and what would happen if we invest, we working grunts invest, $100 a month from our checking account or our paycheck into our 401k. Okay, see ya!